Marley Rivera of ESPN, ESPN Deportes, is at Fenway Park. First pitch like 2.5 hours away. Marley, what's up?
Hey, Scotty. We are drying up over here. It was actually quite a... They canceled BP, which I thought was a little bit premature, given the fact that it's scheduled to start at 6 o'clock, the batting practice. But yeah, it was quite a downpour, but we're ready to play some baseball.
All right. Okay, so you join me every Wednesday on the actual Scotty Mac Show in the 2 o'clock hour. And the last time you were on with me, we predicted the ALCS, and I told you it wasn't going back to Fenway because Houston was going to take it in 4 or 5. Well, I was half right. It wasn't going back to Fenway. What the hell happened there? I didn't think the Red Sox had the relief pitching to get it done, but I was obviously wrong.
Well, I think that it's one of those things. We always talk about this. The best team doesn't always win the World Series. The best team doesn't always advance to the league championship. It's just the team that gets hot. And not only hot, the team that puts it together at the right time. You know, as you know, back in April, I said the Red Sox, you know, would win the World Series. So I'm looking pretty good right now. But what happens is that when I saw that bullpen too, especially the last 2 weeks of the season when their ERA was close to like 7, then of course I kind of said, oh my God, this is going to be another Houston Astros, which is exactly what happened last year. They just out-hit everybody, but they really couldn't pitch. And then you looked at the Houston pitching, and it was just so solid that you're like, oh, how are the Red Sox going to get away from this? And, I mean, I think that the relievers have surprised us all, Scott. I don't know that this is something that we expected. And, of course, Alex Cora surprised us all today, putting Drew Pomeranz on the roster.
Do you think the way the game is played now, especially in the playoffs, if you like break down the series, if anyone's going to have a hot take or decide the series, wouldn't you say it's whichever bullpen can get the job done? It's like starting pitching. I don't care the star level of the guy that's on the mound. It seems like it's all down to the bullpen every game.
But unfortunately, I couldn't agree with you more, Jeff, in theory, but it didn't happen in practice last year, right? The Yankees had a superior, far superior bullpen to the Houston Astros, which was a bullpen that was just simply awful, and they still won the World Series. So I think when you have that kind of offense is the only way that you can get away with difficulties in the bullpen. But certainly, you know, common wisdom and history tells us that what the bullpen can accomplish certainly most of the time leads, you know, as far as the team can go.
I feel, Marley, like we're being robbed of the Kershaw-Price matchup because it's Kershaw and Sale tonight. I want to see Kershaw-Price, the battle of the guys with terrible playoff reputations that are partly unfair but are out there, right? I mean, it's all we talk about.
But Scotty, it's not like Sale has had any, you know, sort of success in the playoffs either. Let's be very clear.
Well, who knows?
Very poorly in the playoffs last year, and we know what he's done this season, you know, with barely getting through 4 innings in his last outing. So, I mean, I know you're not getting the historical context of winning one start in 11 tries or whatever it was that David Price did, but I think this is, you know, this is the lefty-lefty matchup that we haven't seen in a really, really long time. Like, maybe when you were watching Sandy Koufax in 1955.
Yeah, well, I remember those days. Not at all. Because to me, I look at it and I think, you know, did David Price get over a hump pitching in Houston the way that he did? I don't know if there was a mental block for him. He had thrown some pretty good playoff games in the past. I was reminding people how good he was in Game 2 in 2015 in Kansas City for the Blue Jays until everything fell apart there in the seventh inning when Ryan Goins called Jose Bautista off. That pop-up just fell, and then everything fell apart. I mean, he has had some good outings, but he there was no pressure. He'd been warming up the night before in the bullpen. He was on short rest. It was like everything was lined up for him to fail. Maybe that took the pressure off. No expectation. Just go out there and fling it.
I think that you're right about that, and I agree with you. Obviously, we both have known David Price for a really long time, and when he was with Tampa Bay. One of the things that you can tell about Price, and will be very telling tonight, it's his rhythm. As we well know, when he was with Tampa, he was one of the pitchers who take like the slowest. I mean, the reason why pitching clock existed is because of pitchers like David Price. And now when he gets in rhythm, it really doesn't exist. He actually pitches quite quickly. And it's something that I have seen, especially since the All-Star break, when he became, you know, the de facto ace for the Red Sox, which is something that people forget. Chris Sale, I mean, really, the last 2 months of the season didn't contribute much to those 108 wins. So I get your point. It will be, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he's gotten over that hump. But I don't know. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow night.
With Marley Rivera of ESPN, do the Dodgers have enough offense? Which is a weird question to ask, because if you look at their lineup, they've got some big-name players. Aaron Machado, who's obviously really familiar with the AL East from all his years in Baltimore. But do they have enough offense to keep up with this Red Sox team that can mash? Because I don't know if there's anybody better, not named Trout, than Betts, J.D. Martinez, and the lefty hitters like Benintendi. I mean, the Red Sox can just run it at you 1-9.
I think that you're right about that. I think that that's going to be, you know, what it comes down to. Of course, and I really appreciate Jeff's point, because we have to talk about the pitching, and we have to, you know, talk. If Chris Sale gives up a couple of home runs in the first inning, then certainly, you know, the Dodgers are going to be off to a great start and going to have a nice cushion. But the offense is certainly going to be very important this series. And when you talk about the Red Sox, Mookie Betts, despite being, I mean, beyond incredible defensively, really hasn't performed very well offensively. So I think it's one of those moments where you're really kind of waking up a sleeping lion or sleeping tiger. And I do think that Mookie Betts, who crushes lefties, I mean, he hit for about 370, I think it's 368 this season against lefties. So it'll be interesting what he can do about that, you know, against that Kershaw curveball, Scott. But I don't. To answer, you know, a very long answer to a short ending, absolutely not. I don't think they have enough.
With Marley Rivera of ESPN, ESPN Deportes from Fenway Park, it's the Red Sox and Dodgers game one of the World Series tonight. Our own Scotty Mitchell, TSN's Blue Jays reporter, Marley, posted a piece to TSN.ca yesterday detailing the three finalists for the Jays managerial job. So Brandon Hyde is the Chicago Cubs bench coach. Rocco Baldelli, who was drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays in the early 2000s, and people thought this guy was going to be the next big thing, and then injuries derailed his career. He's into coaching now, 37 years old. He's one of the finalists. And then you've got Joe Espada, who is the bench coach of the Houston Astros.
Man, they're getting away from those grizzled veterans, aren't they?
Oh, but every team. Every
I know,
team.
Huh? And I appreciate it. It's like they got to have a guy that just communicates with these young guys. Take care of the analytics from up above, and then create relationships and make it work.
And they don't have to pay him $5 million a year.
Yeah,
that's another part of it too. No, that's the truth though,
or
Marley. Right?
He's making $650,000 or something in Boston.
It's crazy.
That's it.
What do you know about any of those three?
Well, you know, just to put it on the record, and you know this, Joe Espada is a friend. And it is one of those things that I'm certainly rooting for him. And it isn't only a personal thing. I believe that Joe Espada can be an outstanding manager. And I believe he can do that with this young organization that the Blue Jays have, especially with a player like Vlad Jr. I think that having the ability to communicate with a player that is that young, and actually we can just use the example of Rafael Devers today, who at 21 years old, there's only like five Red Sox who've ever started a World Series game, you know, under 22. He turns 22 tomorrow. So, you know, to see what Alex Cora has done with Rafael Devers, and a lot of that has to do with being able to communicate in his own language. And that is something that is going to be very important for Vlad Jr. in his development. Now, that doesn't mean that the other two guys are not capable, especially Rocco Baldelli, who I know very well, covered him as a player, and who is an outstanding coach who the players really, really like. He is one of those, you know, one of those guys he's one of the guys. And I think that is also a necessity in this kind of new wave of new managers. So, but, you know, on the record, I would say that Joe Espada would be a great fit for the Blue Jays, especially because of all the work that he did with developing players and with analytics when he was an assistant to GM Brian Cashman in the New York Yankees.
I'll ask you both. Don't you think that language, being able to communicate with the Latin players, a player like Vlad coming up, how important he's going to be for the Blue Jays, that might be an X factor in making the decision? Just that one player alone. I know it's not all about one player, but when it's such an important piece, communication with that one player could be an X factor in choosing the next manager.
Absolutely. I think the X factor is a perfect way to put it. I don't think that it should be the deciding factor, right? This should be only about your abilities as a manager. It should only be who the, you know, who Blue Jays, you know, front office believes can do the best in rebuilding this entire team. But yes, I mean, the fact that, that Joe Espada can speak Spanish and can relate to Vlad Guerrero Jr., it could be very special, but it doesn't disqualify any of the other candidates.
Well, and it's also important, Marley, right, that this new manager, and of course he will because he's the hire from this front office, but buys into high performance, buys into some of the advanced analytics that Ross Atkins and that front office come to trust. And that's not really anything different than any other organization that's operating in this day and age.
And especially, you know, when Joe Espada, who came, you know, who went from the Yankees to the Houston Astros, and the Houston Astros are so analytics-driven that I think that the fact that he was the bench coach last year of the kind of team, you know, who seems to be churning out Puerto Rican Major League managers, but because obviously we see Alex Cora now, and now Joe Espada being in the conversation, you know, it certainly has to be a forte. It's a new way of seeing baseball. It doesn't mean that you don't have guts and you don't have, you know, instinct and all these things, but balancing that with all the advanced analytics is very important. And I believe, actually, especially these three candidates, are the three of them are very talented in that aspect.
Marley, you know you're going to get radioed. We call it getting radioed up here in Canada. Joe Espada is the next manager of the Blue Jays. Marley Rivera said it. It's got to be true.
Just like
I didn't say that he was. I think that he should be.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, when you dropped John Farrell's name 3 weeks ago, that got
I
some
did.
Buzz.
I did it on purpose, though. You know why I did that. I just wanted to get a real of it, you know, a rise out of you.
Yeah, get
you did.
Get us stop talking hockey for 2 minutes. You did. Listen, always fun. We'll do it again very soon. Enjoy the game tonight.
Absolutely, and we'll see. We'll chat very soon, Scott, and thank you, Jeff, for having me. And we'll see if we have a fabulous game. It'll be nice to see a great pitching matchup finally in this World Series.
Marley, it was my first time getting a chance to chat with you. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
Marley Rivera of ESPN, ESPN Deportes, down there at Fenway Park. Game one tonight, Kershaw for the Dodgers, Sale for the Red Sox.
Really enjoyed that interview. She's energetic.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic.
And
he's now a regular on the Scotty Mac with Noodles and No Doug show.
There you go.